would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it. Just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong, I'm wise, I am better, so much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it. Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never
want to
make it.
Oh, oh, oh.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, America. Good morning to our international partners. Good morning to ADM, all its members. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. And giving honor to Apostle Temple and Lakeisha Spencer and my husband. I just want to say this morning that the song that was just playing, if you really sat and listened to it, it's saying it is such a powerful song. It's letting us know that we never could have made it without God. We cannot make anything. We cannot get through our day. We cannot go another step without God. We may sit and think that we can, but just remember, he's right there with us. He's making us wiser. He's making us better. He's just doing all type of different things that we can't see. Things that so minute where we're looking for big and large things. God is doing the little minor things. He's doing his little crafty work in places that you may not even be looking for. So I want to sit in and let you know to never forget that every inch, every step that you take, that you would not make it without God. God is our resource. He is the head. He is the focus point. And we need him. He is a necessity in life. He's not somebody that we could just push to the side. Because during our trials, during our tribulations, when you sit and you look back, as the song says, he never would have made it. If you look back over the things that you've been through, you have to acknowledge God. Although God may have sent certain people around to be your helpmate, at the end of the day, it was done. Your accomplishment, whatever it was because God and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that he gave you. So keep that in mind today. As you are commanding your atmosphere, decree and declare that you never would have made it without God. Decree and declare that he has given you wisdom. Decree and declare that he has given you understanding. Decree and declare that you are better because of God and God all by himself. Mother Jackson, if you are on the line, press 1, please, to grace us with a prayer. Mother Jackson, are you on the line? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, just thanking you, Father, for this new day, Father God, a new beginning, Father God. Father God, we just ask your Holy Spirit, Father God, your consuming fire, Father God, to just take over, just hit each and every last one of us, Father, and just take over us, Father, our mind, our heart, our spirit, our soul, Father God. Lord, we just ask you for a cleansing, Father God, a pure, complete cleansing, Father God, from the mind, from the heart, the body, the soul, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to allow us to decrease, Father God, as you increase, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to let the words that come out of our mouth be acceptable to you, Father God. We just ask you, Father God, to let the Holy Spirit be our guide, Father God, for us not to lean on our own understanding about anything, Father God, but to trust you with all our mind, all our heart, and all our soul, Father God. And we just ask you, Father God, to continue to watch over those, Father God, that may not be in a place, Lord Jesus, where they're able to receive your word, Father God. Lord, I ask you to send people out, Father God, and let them know, Father God, about the good news, Lord Jesus. The good news, I let them know, Father God, that we are in a state of urgency, Father God, that we must come closer to you, Father God. We must allow you, we must abide in you, Father God. And Lord, we just ask you, thank you, Father God, for all the many tools that you have made available for us, Father God. And Lord, we ask you to touch the grieving hearts that may be on the phone today, Father God, or someone have loved ones, Father God, that's going through a season right now of grievance, Father. We just ask you, Lord, to give them strength in the time of their weakness, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you on today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for giving us the opportunity, Father God, to come before you on another day, Father God, and encourage someone else, Father God. It's not about us, Father God. It's all about you, Father God. So Lord, we ask you right now, this morning, to have your way, Father God, for us to decrease and for you to increase. Touch souls, Father God. Change minds, Father God. Create clean hearts, Father God. In Jesus' name, we pray. This, as you all know, good morning again. We are dealing with the fruits of the Spirit. And we know that these are things that we need. It's not something that we can go on in life without having them. And last night I was taught something else, and I loved it. It just touched my spirit when it was stated that the fruits of the Spirit are growing pains. They're growing pains for you to enter into different things, into business, into the kingdom of God. It's growing pains. It's things that's going to mature you. It's things that's going to help you get to the next level. But we know in order to get to those things, we got to go through some things. Fruit of the spirits are not just something that you're getting right here and now. It's a process. You got to go through, you got to get some things taken off of you. You got to be pruned. You know, it's not just, you have to be developed. It's things you have to work towards. It's a process that we must go through. And we need to understand, too, another thing that I learned. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, we become a representative of God. So therefore, our actions should be changed. We're now on display. You can't go out and be ugly and hateful and mean and whatever. You got to clean yourself up. You got to change the way you look, the way you act, because you are a representative of the Most High. Now, that should mean something to you. That means that your standards got to change. Your way of living got to change. So the fruits of the Spirit is not something that you do on a temporary basis. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. And on today, the two spirits, fruits of the Spirit that we will be expounding on is patience and kindness. Sister Monica, you go ahead and take the wheel with patience. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless you too, sister. As you spoke on patience, the spirit, it just sent me into a dictionary mode to where I wanted to see what was the synonyms, you know, the words that mean the same thing and the definition. And what it says is that long suffering is another word for patience. If we read the several versions of the Bible, the King James Version, the NLT Version, all these different versions, they give us substitute words so that we can get a better understanding. And not only was long-suffering another word, but tolerance. You know, we all know what tolerance is, where you have to tolerate people or a situation. And then there's the word serenity. Serenity is a powerful word. It speaks about calmness, and it also speaks about restraint. Endurance is another word for patience, lenience, perseverance, stay in power, diligence, self-control, composure, even temperedness. Calmness is, you know, descriptive words or synonyms that mean the same thing as patience. And this is what the fruits of the Spirit is indicating, that our fruits must have the quality of. And, you know, we always talking about the quality of our spiritual fruits, but see, the quality can't be any kind of fruit. It has to be the descriptive kind of patience, because we've already said love and peace and joy. Well, here we have patience now. Patience is another facet, another side of that faith that we must have. And see, the definition of it was the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now, that definition has a lot of meaning. And it can be taken several ways, but the capacity means that the ability, that we can have the capacity to accept things. Because some things you can accept lightly, and there are some things that you can accept wholeheartedly. But see, it says that we must have the capacity or the tolerance, the capacity to accept or tolerate a delay or trouble or suffering. And see, that's just giving us an idea of it's going to be something that is not comfortable. It's not pleasant. It's something that we could get angry about, or we could get upset about or frustrated about. And when it came down to this definition, the first thing the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit was the serenity prayer. Now, the serenity prayer isn't actually in the Bible, but it's a prayer that's known by millions of people. And it's one of my favorite prayers that I pray. And it's carried me through a lot of situations. It's helped me. And if you don't know what the serenity prayer is, the serenity prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. My God, that is a mouthful of praying right there. And it means that we are asking God, we want God to give us that calmness, give us that patience, give us that ability, that self-control, that composure, that quality that we need in faith to actually last out, because something's not going right. Something's not going the way we want it to go. But see, when we can accept things that, you know, we might be facing, if we can accept things that we're going through, we can ask God for the serenity for that. And see, once we realize that there are some things that we can do out of courage, we have to have courage to do it. And see, in the serenity prayer, it says the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. See, that's where the abiding in the Holy Spirit, that's where the abiding in God comes in. That's where, when the Holy Spirit gives you discernment, that's where the wisdom to know the difference comes into play. Because, see, we don't want to have patience for something that's not of God. See, we don't want to have patience for no foolishness. We don't want to have patience for something that is not, that's not for us. And, see, that's where our relationship, our intimate relationship where we have Father God's guidance in his communion, he's going to give us that knowing, that understanding, that what the difference is in what we can change and what we can't change. And see, that in itself is a powerful thing, because patience is important to be used with the idea of, this is something that God wants from me. This is something that I need to do, not something that I want to do, but it's something that God has for me. And so as we go on, we realize that we're doing a lot of things in our lives and the fruits of the Spirit manifest. But see, when patience comes into play, we realize and we recognize that it was something that was given to us, because God has this patience with us. He is a God of another chance. He's not a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. And you ask me why, I say this is why I say God is a God of another chance, because he is a God of forgiveness. See, that forgiveness is another thing that requires patience. God is so patient with all of us, that because we are made in his image, we must be forgiving as well with others and give others another chance. See, we must have that patience and that mindset that we're not going to get upset and angry if people aren't carrying us the same way we would like them to be. And point where we have to develop, we have to grow this necessary facet of faith, patience. Now, have patience, but that is another, that there's another fashion of having patience that's not on the forgiveness side or the tolerance of people side, but it's a form of waiting on God. So I'm going to go into why we have so much patience with our children, the people we love, our friends. Because notice, when you look at the patience that we have with our children, we may be able to tell our children time and time again, don't touch that. And because we realize that they are children and they need supervision, our patience is not going to be thin when we have to continually watch that child and remind that child, don't touch that, if that's the example. And I just want everybody to recognize and notice how much patience you have for people more to love than the people that you don't really care for. See, the contrast is, see, we'll have all this love. We'll have the most love for the people we love the most, because it's relative. See, the more love you have in your heart and mind for someone, the more you are able to, you know, withstand or tolerate their behavior, because you don't want them to suffer. You don't want them to become a victim or anything to happen to them. And you want to show them some sort of kindness and understanding because, see, you love them. And that in itself is a level of patience, a level of tolerance that you would not have for someone who's treated you without kindness, that was unkind to you. But see, the Bible tells us that we are to still be kindness. And to the people that have tried us over and over, we look at the way that they've done us, and it kind of hinders what kind of patience you have with them, because, see, now you don't want to be bothered with them. But we're to draw on the fruits of our spirit, the fruit of our spirit that allows us to tolerate somebody that has wronged us, that has done something to us, and we can still show them that we have patience with them because we have an expectation that God's going to fix that person, that God's going to change their heart, that they're going to get better, that they're not going to always be the way that they are. And, you know, when we have patience like that, that's the kind of patience that's going to give us the ability to forgive. And that's in the image of our Father, because he forgives us daily. He forgives each and every one of us daily. And when he forgives us, it's just another example of why we should forgive others. So I spoke on the tolerance and the forgiveness side of a patience, but now I want to move over and talk about how we need to have patience to live for Christ until Christ returns, that waiting patience, that patience to where we can actually fight the good fight and strive and press forward toward God and never give up on whatever goodness and plans that he has for us. And when we look at scripture to back up what I'm talking about, it brought me to Matthew's 18 and 21 through 22. And see, this is an example in the Bible where Christ was telling Peter what kind of patience, the capacity of what patience should be. And it says in Matthew 18 and 21, it says, "Then Peter came to him and asked him, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who has sins against me? Seven times?'" And in 22, Christ answers him. He says, "No, not seven times." Jesus replied, "But 77 times." People, when I say 77 times is a lot of times, you can't even keep count when you have that mindset that you're going to forgive someone 77 times. That is an attitude. See how wise Jesus was when he was teaching Peter about this concept. He gave him a number that is something that you wouldn't even take a record of anymore. And it gives an idea that this patience would have to be sustained. It would be a strong level of understanding, of knowing that we are going to continue to forgive this person, that we're going to continue to, you know, be tolerant of this person, so that we wouldn't even have the idea in our mind that we're going to give up on them. And then I said to the Lord, I said, "Well, 77 times, that means that I'm just going to have to just look past what they are right now and ask God for the strength for 77 times, because I don't know if I could deal with somebody over and over 77 times." But it wasn't the dealing of them over and over. It was the place that my heart was in. It was the position that my heart was in. What kind of spirit did I have on the situation? Not the actual physical manifestation of me dealing with them 77 times, but it was the mindset and the pureness of my heart that was giving me the ability to even attempt to deal with them and to be patient with them 77 times. So that's where God just poured into me, you guys. And he's telling us that we must have this. And poured another scripture into my mind. He also gave me Psalms 27 and 14. And Psalms 27 and 14 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." That instruction in itself is telling us patiently is an important aspect of waiting. It is an important aspect of faith. Patience, because it was repeated twice. It says, "Wait for the Lord." That means that we're not to just sit and say, "Well, I'm going to pray about it and see what God says," and then move on to what we can do ourselves, because we're not going to wait patiently for the Lord. We're going to let our human physical abilities kick in and not wait. We're going to be a busybody. We're going to go and take back what we've already given to God. See, that's not patience. See, the patience is when you can wait on God because you know God's going to take care of that thing for you. Patience is a fruit that we have to have in our faith that will allow us to be still when God says, "Be still, I got this." See, when we pray, we have to pray with the mindset that when we give it to God, it's already done. We have to have patience to wait on that already done prayer to be answered, you know, that already done in the spirit to fall in the natural kind of patience. And see, we also have the knowing that in Romans, we are given this hope when we were saved. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something and we don't have it, we must wait patiently and confidently. So the things that it's saying about us is, why would we need patience for something that we can see? Why would we need patience for something that we already have? See, patience is about, you know, the faith of, you know, having something that's being sought for, that you're seeking after, that you're longing for, that it's not coming immediately. And it's going to take time for that thing to manifest in your life. But you have to have the staying power. You have to have the endurance. You have to have the confidence that you're going to wait on that thing, that you're never going to give up, because you know that God and you petitioned your Father, and he said that he would give it to you, and you just have to be patient. And so when you hear God saying yes, don't expect it to be immediately. Don't expect it to be overnight. Realize that this is something that requires wisdom and discernment, that, you know, that God said so, and that because God said so, I got to wait on it. That's where you got to have the ability to sit before God, commune with God, talk to God, and know what God says about anything that you're going through, that you need faith in, that you're experiencing. You got to have that patience. Patience is like, you know, the spiritual fruit that is not foolish, that could never be foolish. Because, see, patience is not waiting on something that God didn't tell you was going to come. Patience is not waiting on something to happen that needs to be happening right now, and you sitting and wallowing in it, and you're not ready to move because you don't have the wisdom or the communion with God to know better. And see, that's where I want everyone to recognize the difference in their patience and when it's required. And so we go on and we talk about how patience is a willingness to run the marathon of life in faith, not in a short race, not in a little sprint, but a marathon. So keep that in mind, everyone, when you think about patience. Keep that in mind when you ask God to help you. If you have to, use a serenity prayer and ask God to grant you the serenity, accept the things you cannot change, and the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Watch your faith grow, because God promises us this ability. He gives us that reward. He's going to pull you into a place where you can be still and have peace to wait on God. You can actually have that patience, that long-lasting, that enduring temperance, that perseverance to hold on to his staying power, because in our weakness, he is strong. And because of that, that's where patience is such a valuable, valuable fruit of the Spirit. Sister, I hope that I spoke on patience enough to give everyone a understanding on where you're going, because this is a powerful thing. And I turn it back over to you, because I know you have so much more to say about these fruits of the Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. The Holy Spirit is definitely active. It's something that he definitely wants us to know. This is another reason why he's coming back and piggyback. He's doubling up on his words. It's something, it's an urgent that he wants us to know. This is why he is pouring downpouring into Apostle Temple right now, so we can get this word out. And speaking with patience, we know that kindness comes with that. And my definition of kindness is love in action. It's the manifestation of love and compassion, and most definitely forgiveness. And also, I would like to sit and say kindness has to be guarded. And we must exercise wisdom and use discernment and sound judgment when we're dealing with kindness, because people would take the gift of kindness and flip a gift of love and compassion and turn it into a place of corruption. We do realize that in the Bible, God said to obey him is to love him. Therefore, obedience comes with kindness. Obedience comes with kindness. A renewed mind. Everything that we have been learning comes with kindness, because people do have motives. When Jesus walked on the earth, he walked on the earth and he displayed kindness. And every time he displayed an act of kindness, a change occurred. Kindness is a change, changes occurs when kindness take place. That's why I say it's an action word. Kindness is an action word. For every good deed that you do, and you're not, let me go back to motives. When you're giving something, you have to assure that there's no motives behind it. You can sit and give something to somebody all day, every day. But are you giving it to them with a pure heart? Are you giving it to them with because you have compassion? Or are you giving it to them because you want to sit and go and tell someone else about it? See, that's why the word of God lets us know in Matthew 6:3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In this day and time, that's the issue. Every time somebody wants to give or do an act of kindness, you see it posted on Facebook. Or when somebody gives you something from the goodness of their heart or because they're helping you, because that's what kindness is. You don't have to sit and you don't have to display it with everybody. You don't have to show everybody that this person gave me this, this person gave me this. Because if they gave it to you from a genuine heart, they didn't do it for you to sit and blast and say, oh, this person gave me $10,000. Because it causes chaos. It causes contention. And that's not what kindness, that's not why Jesus walked this earth. To start a chaotic situation. That's not why he gave the gift of kindness. It's a gift. It's a beauty. It's an art. It's something that should be done purely without a motive. Because when the motive comes in and it's not a good, pure motive, it alters its state. It alters everything that Jesus came on this earth. And when he walked this earth, it changes it changes what he did for us. And the greatest act of kindness that Jesus did for us is that he came and he died for us to be saved. He came and he died for us to receive God's grace. He came to change things, as I stated. When you think of kindness, it's an action word. You're doing something. You're giving somebody something. But if you're not giving it to them pureness, then it means nothing. And I want to go a little bit further with that kindness. It struck. I love when we have these type of when we're talking about these different things because it strikes up conversations and people don't even realize that they're engaging into a Bible study. They're engaging into things, talking to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them. One of my sons was talking about kindness and he was saying, when you see beggars on the street, you always supposed to give them this or you always supposed to. He said an act of kindness is just giving stuff to everybody, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit quickened me immediately and took me back to a discussion that when I first started coming to ADM, it was a teaching, and it was talked about when you giving to everybody, you may be giving or you may be doing something or having an act of kindness, and that act of kindness may be disrupting what God may have for someone else. It may be disrupting the destiny or the teaching or whatever it is that God has for someone else. And when you using kindness, that's why I said, when you're utilizing the gifts of kindness, you have to use wisdom. If I'm a police officer and I see you with 10 kilos of cocaine or a person walking down the street where they done stole a bag of clothes and whatnot, and I sit and tell you that I'm going to give you a pass, would you sit and say that that was an act of kindness? And that act of kindness, as I say, kindness changes things. Kindness changes you from being a sinner and take you into a righteous place with God. Kindness takes you off of the wrong path and puts you on the right path with God. Kindness takes you from an unforgiving heart and give you a forgiving heart. Kindness opens your eyes where you can sit and see the good deeds that God, that Jesus did while he was on this earth. And one of the good things that you, it's an act. It's a way of showing. You don't have to sit and talk about it. You don't have to talk about kindness It's an action verb. It's you're giving it, and you're doing it not because you want something back in return. When Jesus walked on the earth, he just wanted to change us from being sinners and realize that we can have eternal life. He just came to teach us about our Father's business, the kingdom of God. He came to do that. And how did he do it? He did it by examples. Jesus healed a leper. A leper was somebody in Jesus' days that was just unclean. They had to separate themselves. They couldn't be around anybody. They couldn't do anything. But according to scripture, it says when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. That's love. That is love. Jesus was so in tune with God that nothing mattered. Jesus did not sit and look at this man and say, because of who you are, get out of my face. No, I can't do anything for you. Jesus did a change in this man's life. And then he told him, don't go and talk about it. He said, don't go talk about it. Go and show. Go and display. Go display the change that has occurred. Why did the change occur? Because Jesus is love. Jesus is kind. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus cares so much about us that he does not want us to stay in the same state that we're in right now. He does not want us to stay in the same mindset. He wants us to take away anything that may hinder us from showing that we are Christians, that we have true love, that we are compassionate people, that it's nothing to do an act of kindness and just do it and walk away and not say or see any or do anything about it. Not sit and continue to talk about it. Not continue to sit and brag about it. Not continue to boast about it. And then we go back to the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus could have reprimanded her. He could have embarrassed her. He didn't. He allowed the change to take place. And a relationship was developed through her. A relationship through Jesus' act of kindness. A relationship was placed there. You know, when we have to ask, we also have to realize that forgiving is a major part of kindness. Forgiving. When Judas came to betray Jesus with a kiss, and Jesus asked him, I'm paraphrasing, you came to betray me with a kiss, and when the other disciples seen what was going on, Peter took out his sword and cut the high priest's ear off. Even though Jesus already, because he knows everything, he knew everything, he already knew what his footsteps was. He already knew. He knew the plan that God had for him. He knew that. He still, out of an act of kindness, picked up the ear and put it back on the priest and healed him. But the biggest thing, the most awesomest thing that I love about Jesus, aside of the fact that he died on the cross to save a sinner like me, when he was in the middle of two people who were actually guilty of sinning, his act of kindness said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was nailed to the cross, hand and foot, whooped. Oh, my God, brittles on his head, the most agonizing pain that he could have. And do you hear me? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' act of kindness should make any and everybody change their old, evil, ugly ways, to clothe themselves in something new, to sit and ask God if you don't know how to get there. You sit and have a conversation with God. God, I don't know how to do that, but I want to do it, Father God, because I see the sacrifices that you've made for me. Talk to God. Ask God to show you kindness, to give you a heart where you can sit and give kindness. I've seen a lot of things. I've been a lot of places. But I want to see to say this. And you know what? It may or may not come back and get me, because I have an apostle and first lady that you never hear about anything. I've sat and witnessed in church my apostle take a shirt off his back. I've witnessed where I have been talking to him about time, and he's taken a watch off his wrist. That's kindness. And then you don't see it on Facebook. It doesn't come back up in another sermon. My first lady, an act of kindness every single day, not just her entire family, her sister Deshaun. They give so much love, so much compassion to people that's truly and genuinely in need. And you know the thing of it is, everything, the standards are so high that it's recognizable. They don't have to sit and talk about it. They be about it. And because they sit and they be about it, the apostle, his wife, the sister, everybody, it flourishes. It's recognized. You don't have to sit and do something. Your motives have to be pure. Your motives have to be, yes, I'm going to help the needy, but I'm not going to talk about it. Yes, Father, Apostle Temple, sit and do. I'm going to be obedient. I'm hearing what you said because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. We have to have a kind heart. We have to have our mindset has to be changed. We have to have an open ear to allow the Spirit to lead us and guide us, not lean on our own understanding. And when you are in a position to do so, the things that you do, people may sit back and say, why is this person doing this or why is this person doing that? You know why they're doing it? Because they're communicating with God. Why are they doing it? Because they got a personal relationship with God in the home, out of the home, everywhere they go. They're receiving their instructions from God. Why? Because they got a pure heart. Because they don't sit and harbor unforgiveness, but they give forgiveness. Why? Because the love that they have for God. Why? Because God is their lordship. He is the head of their life, their focus. And that's where we need to be. We need to start living by the examples that Jesus gave to us. We need to let go and let God. Stop allowing different things to hinder our growth, but to sit and say, God, again, I surrender all. Use me where you want to use me at. Change the things that I cannot change. Because sometimes things are way great, way bigger than you. Things are out of your control because they went on and on and on and on, and we didn't recognize it. Do a self-examination so God can sit and open up little nooks and crannies for you. And as you progress, the crack will get wider. And then you are able to sit and say, I never would have made it without you. I've changed. You can see the change. Kindness is an act of change. Every act of kindness that Jesus did, it brought about a change. It did not hurt anyone. It did not hinder anyone. It did not forsake anyone. Jesus did say, move out of my face. I can't help you, you peasant. who touched me, you filthy, clean, unclean lady. Leopard, go back up the mountain, you dirty, you filthy. No, Jesus didn't have a second thought about it because he knew who he was. He knew that God was his father. He knew that he had all the teachings that he had gotten. He applied those teachings into his life. So I sit and say today, the teachings that God has for all of us is not just for me. It's for you, your neighbor, everybody. It's a time right now that everybody needs to hear the word of God. It's a time right now that you need to be working on your fruits. So when it's time for the manifestation, that it will be just beautiful, an awesome thing. You are able to present yourself to God, and you may not be, you're where you, God will meet you where you're at right then and there. It's none of us perfect, but at the same token, if we take the action, kindness, the action, love, the action, their action, everything about the fruit of the Spirit is action. And if we apply these actions to our lives, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and ask him to send the tools, send the people, the true people, not the false prophets, the true people that's going to tell you the truth. And the truth may hurt you, but guess what? When you sit and you look at the end result, and it may be, the end result may be that you may have conquered love. The end result may be is that, oh, I was able to forgive somebody that I have harbored feelings for over 20 years. You can sit and say that the teachings that you received helped you, and the knowing who God is and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. You're not doing anything in the process. You're trusting God to get you from A to B. And once you get from A to B, then you go on to C. As I stated, and I'm going to continue to state it, it's a process. If you stumble at C, sit and ask God, Father, help me back up. Put me back straight. Don't sit and go all the way back to A, because tomorrow isn't promised to us. And we need to be making a progression to reap the rewards and the blessings that Jesus has for us. So I sit and ask you tonight, again, to not sit and miss the teachings that God has for us. I'm asking you, I'm charging you again to come out, break the bread of life, hear the true word of God. Hear it from somebody that leads by example. Hear it from somebody that can sit and do any and everything and have a closed mouth. Even if somebody do come back and sit and say, did you give, it's nothing going to be said. That's the beauty that I love about my apostle and my first lady. Nothing will be said because they realize they did it because of their pureness. They did it because of their compassionate. And they did it because the love of God and people. So I was like, I'm charging you all to come back on the line tonight, 8 p.m. Whatever you're doing, stop, hold up, wait a minute, and give God the time for him to teach you, lead you, and guide you, and help you through the process. It may not be something that your ears want to hear, but it's something that your heart needs. It's something that your mind needs. It's something that's going to help you get to the next level. The number is 385-799-9620. Come out, break the bread of life with us. Come with an expectation that a change is going to occur in your life, that the action verb change is going to occur, that a newness is going to come into your life, a new awareness. Come with an open mind, a clean heart, and realize and reap the benefits that God is providing for you right now, because he will provide. All you need to do and be on the recipient end and say, Father, I thank you. I pray that you all have a good day. I pray that you all command your morning so that you will be able to get over any obstacle that comes in your way. I pray that you allow God to lead, his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, and you get and he just give you an abundance of strength for those that are weak. We love you. We'll see you tonight at 8 p.m. Call somebody. Call your whole family. Call even your enemies. Tell them it's something that they need to hear. It's an urgency. And while you calling them, take the time to say, I love you enough. I forgive you. I want you to be a part of this. You be the bigger person. You be the person that shows an act of kindness and sit and say, I'm not going to sit and I no longer will stop my blessings. I want to reap the benefits, the promises that God gave me. So what I'm doing is I'm extending an invitation for you to come in and reap as well. I'm not going to leave you out there. I've forgiven you. So I'm inviting you right now to come in. So call everybody. We'll see you tonight at 8 p.m. and then tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We love you. God bless.
Every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time.